doesn't have an expiration date. You have to keep working on it. You can't grow and continue to live the life of a trash person. It's just not gonna work. I don't know where I would be without God. I'm being honest. Like, yeah, I curse a lot, but I don't know where I would be without God. I truly get it.
Welcome back to another edition of I Don't Know Who This Is For podcast. Y'all, I am so grateful for y'all. Y'all are growing this community. The numbers are going up. I see y'all liking. I see y'all sharing, commenting. I see the reviews. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. As I told y'all before, I need your help to grow this community. Allow my community to be your community and your community to be mine. And we'll see this thing grow exponentially. So thank y'all so much. And I'm so excited about my guest today. But y'all know how I love God. So let's go ahead and pray. And then we'll get right into it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for today. God, I thank you so much for allowing us to see another day. I thank you so much for allowing us to plant our feet on solid ground, God. I thank you so much for giving me the ability to have difficult conversations, God. I thank you so much for allowing me to be respectful. I thank you so much for allowing my guests to see the perspectives. God, I thank you so much for healing, for growth, for transparency. God, I thank you for all of these things. In your mighty name, I pray. Amen. So y'all already know how we doing it. Y'all already know how we coming. We coming real, real big. We making sure that healing and transformation and growth is at the forefront of I Don't Know Who This Is For podcast. Y'all already know how I am about healing and growth. So let me introduce my next guest.
Hey, y'all.
Renata Robinson. You are married.
I am.
Renata, I'm so happy that you are here. This is going to be, I know this episode will be one of the most impactful episodes for I Don't Know Who This Is For podcast. How many years have we been friends?
On or off?
In total.
And so
before the drought. Okay. How long were we friends before the drought?
27 years.
Yes. Yes. Tell the people how we became friends, Renata. The truth.
Oh my, you are not going to let this story rest. We became friends at the age of 12. She claims.
No, for real, Renata, tell the truth, because for real, what really happened? Seriously.
She said, this is her version. I don't really remember it.
Okay, but where were you when this happened then?
I was there.
Okay, so what happened?
But I'm just saying your version.
Okay, so go ahead. I want to hit it so bad.
She say that we were in gym.
And orientation.
We was in orientation.
It was orientation for seventh grade.
Okay.
Y'all was in the bleachers already.
Okay. And she came in. Was this your birthday?
No, this wasn't the birthday.
Oh, this is another
incident. This is a whole nother incident.
She said that I said she swears she looks so and she looks terrible. But I swear to God, I don't remember saying that.
You definitely said it.
I don't remember.
I'm healing from it, but I can still feel a little thing.
That has taken on a toll for a very long time.
I'm going to let it go after the day. I promise. I'm going to let it go. We needed to have this conversation so I can let it go.
Everyone we encounter, you have to that tell conversation them that story.
Because that is how we met. You did tell me that, and I thought I was killing it. I thought I was doing it.
I'm sure you were. Maybe that was, I don't know why I said it. I'm sorry.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I forgive you.
I'm so sorry for saying that to you.
That's when we first met. And that was in seventh grade. Seventh grade, we weren't really like really close in seventh grade.
No.
Because we had like the same classes for real. Right. But we always saw each other. Mm-hmm. We always saw each other. We had gym together. Mm-hmm. But we didn't really have any classes together. So we always saw each other. And we shared a mutual friend, Renna. Renna was both of our friends.
Right.
And so when we got in eighth grade,
we were in all the same classes together.
And we immediately became best. The weirdest shit.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't like get to know each other, court each other. Like, what you like, girl? We immediately became best friends. Like, when I would introduce you to people, I'd be like, "Oh, this is my best friend," and you would tell people that I was your best friend. I don't know how the hell that shit was wild.
And I would be so mad if Renaya did that.
Yes, coming home
like, girl, that's not your best. She does that actually. Let me like, that's not your best friend.
I don't know.
But what who am I to say that? Look at us.
I think it's just lessons. I think it's also the lessons that we learn in friendships. That's why we tell our kids, don't no, this is not your best friend. You don't know her. You know what I'm saying? But I think with us, we did, like, we became friends really, really quickly. But it was also really rocky.
It was
a rocky best friendship.
It was.
From your point of view, what was our friendship at that time, like in eighth grade?
In eighth grade. So our friendship was best friends one day. Then the next day we didn't speak for no apparent reason.
No apparent reason, Renata.
Like one of us would come in the classroom like, we were some moody bitches.
Moody. And that would set the tone. Because it would set the tone. And it felt like it always happened in that computer class that we had. It felt like it was always that. I don't know what class that was. But it felt like it was a computer class that we had. I would come in and I feel like you would be talking to somebody. And I would feel like, why is she talking to them already? We just started the class. And so I would be like, well, I'm not talking to her then. And I don't know from your perspective how you felt. But it would happen. Whoever came in last, depending on the day, we just would not talk to each other.
All day.
And it would be like we were mad.
But by the end of the day, we would be talking. So weird.
That is why I really need
to. And I had an attitude problem. So if I was just in a mood that day, then I just wasn't going to say anything. If she don't speak to me, I'm not speaking to her. Like, I just don't feel like that. That is terrible.
That is some toxic shit. And that is horrible. That is a horrible way to experience friendship. But I think because we were both doing it, it didn't affect one more than it affected the other. Because it's not like you were doing it to me and I was like pressuring you, or I was doing it to you and you were pressuring me. We would take turns like, okay, Monday is my go, bitch. Tuesday, let me tag you in. You come in, don't say shit to me. Like, it was crazy. And I don't think that we ever really talked about that. Like, we just let years go by. We continued to live our lives. We had boyfriends. We had our children. Like, we never really talked about, like, the importance of our friendship or, you know, how we could, like, continue to cultivate our friendship and nourish it and make it healthy and it grow. It just became something that was, I think, comfortable for us. And you were always familiar to me and I was always familiar to that's my best friend. It's nothing else to that. You know what I'm saying? If someone was to ask you, why was I your best friend, what would you have said? Not now, but like, I don't know, 18, I don't know, what would you have said? Do you remember what you would have said?
At 18, probably the same thing I would say now. Like, you growing, like, number one, we grew together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We experienced a lot together growing up.
We did.
And we always had each other back.
Yeah.
Like, we had friends, and then we had each other. Yeah. So we always had each other back. You always showed up for me.
Yeah.
So that would be the top of reason why I would say that you were my best friend.
Yeah, we definitely, there was no question about showing up, no matter what. I mean, and even after us being 12 and 13, I don't even know if it was beefing. We still would not talk for like, it didn't last long. It would probably be like weeks, maybe months. I don't know what was the longest outside of this last time, but we still would have times where we wouldn't talk. But it always was like tragedy brought us back. Somebody in our family would die or something happened and it was a huge tragedy and we show up and we never talk about the time in between that, like why we weren't talking or what was wrong. You were good. What's good? You know, why you didn't call me or are you okay? Are you well? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you need anything? How can I show up for you? I don't think for me, I was mature enough. I didn't have the maturation level to ask those type of questions, but that was only with you. And I don't know what that was. That was just a wild thing. And I think for me, I associated it with a fear of losing you because of the conversation may get too heavy. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know how you feel about that, but I know that's why I didn't bring up why we just wouldn't talk at times.
I don't know why it was never a conversation. I really don't. Like, I guess now since I'm older, that would have made a difference in our friendship over the years if we would just talked about it.
But absolutely.
I think growing up, like even with your families, like my family, for example, we never talk and communicate about stuff. Like stuff just gets up under the rug and then we just move forward. And I think maybe that's something I practiced and that's probably why I brought it into my friendship. Because it was never nothing talked about. Like I know how to communicate now, but growing up that just was not something that was practiced. So that's probably, I guess, slightly like a generational curse. Like people just don't talk. And that spills over into friendships and relationships.
All relationships.
I think growing up it's like, okay, we good now? Okay, well, whatever that was, forget about it. And it's not healthy.
It's not. It's really very not detrimental to your relational your relationships, period, because then it translates to your children. Now you start raising these children and they grow up to be fucking trash because they can't communicate. They don't know how to comprehend. They're silent. They shut down. They compress their feelings. They don't know how to compartmentalize things and deal with it in those different compartments. It's just nothing. It's a complete silence. And sometimes silence can be so loud and it can also be so paralyzing.
True.
And so that leads me to this. Why do you think I chose you? Because you know, you're not in the entertainment world. You have nothing to do with that type of stuff. You are a wife, a mom. You're not into any of the stuff that I'm into. Why do you think I chose you to come and talk about friendships on the podcast?
Well, who else?
I knew that's what you was going to say.
Like, hello?
Lord knows I wish I had $1 million because I would have won.
I mean, who else? No, I'm serious, but I'm playing.
I know.
I mean, because we've grown in our friendship. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've been through a lot in a friendship.
Yeah.
So who else could come and speak the truth? Someone who's known you and you've known me. Like, you're one of the people who know me best in my life. So, and I feel the same, you know.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, we display friendship. So I guess I would be like the perfect person.
So we were best friends for over 2 decades. And then we were thick as thieves one day, and then the very next day, it was literally like going back to eighth grade. And it makes me extremely emotional when I just think about it, right? Thick as thieves one day, and then the very next day, we don't talk for six years. Like, I am still trying to, like, heal from that. That is it is a painful thing to even remember and to feel what I felt during the time that we weren't talking, right? And I've had friendships that end, and I'm like, that bitch, fuck, that shit was done. You know what I'm saying? I don't ever want to talk to her. I'm done with her. I wish her well, but I'm good off of that. I don't need a conversation. I don't need no closure. I'm good. You know what I'm saying? And it's easy for me. Like, Black has seen me be like, I'm done. Like, I'll be cool, and then I'm done. I am done. I don't feel hurt. I don't feel pain. I'm good off of that, right? But I've never felt that when we stopped talking. It was always, like, hurt. You know what I'm saying? It was always hurt. I was always so disappointed in me and in you. You know what I'm saying? I was always so frustrated, like extremely just frustrated, right? And so what do you think were contributing factors to us falling out?
So number one, I felt like we just fell off. Like, well, we already know the story about, you know, when you had your miscarriage and all that thing.
Let's talk about that. So, okay. So we stopped talking the day that I told you that I had a miscarriage, I lost the baby.
Right.
And that was the last time we talked. So,
So before we get to that, no, let's start there.
You can start so, whatever you feel
no,
like
I'm
you
want to start. I'm going to start there.
Okay.
So you told me, you called me, we were excited about this baby, yes. Right? You called me and told me that you had a miscarriage. I was heartbroken and I could feel the hurt in your voice, right? So I told then boyfriend, now husband, I was like, oh my God, you know, Sherelle lost a baby. I said, I'm going to give her and Black some space today, but I'm going to her house first thing in the morning because I know that, you know, she needs me there. So the day go by, and then the next day, or maybe later on that day, however it went, I go on Instagram. And I seen that you put this appreciation post up about your village. And I felt a way because I said, all these people who are new to me and fairly new to her just came and bust her door down. And she's giving them all this appreciation. Here I am thinking I'm doing the right thing by giving her and her husband some space, you know what I'm saying, to grieve. And for me, that hurt, you know, and I think that was the icing on the cake for me. Because let's just revert back to your wedding. When I found out that you get married, I was so happy for you. But to know that I wasn't a part of that, and to me it felt like, you know, your husband planned that. So what is she at home telling him that he didn't feel that I should be more active in that? To see you walk in a hotel room with people that I have no clue who they are, and they're welcoming you, I should have been there. So from that point, it felt like our relationship, our friendship was going downhill. Because who are these people? We've been best friends for over 20 years. And it's no malice or ill feelings towards Black, but it's like, why didn't he think that I should have been there?
Yeah.
That was the beginning of some hurt for me that I never discussed with nobody. And then the baby thing. You giving all of these, some of the same people, all this appreciation. And I'm like, so I'm just not needed anymore. You know, and I felt like our friendship had just spiraled downhill. You know, I felt like I was being replaced. Now, 39-year-old me would have communicated how I felt then, you know, but at that point, I wasn't mature enough to do that. It was just like, whatever. Like, if this is who she needs in her life at this time, if this is who she wants in her life at this time, fine, I'm going to take a step back. Because I'm clearly not who she needs around. And after that, we just never, like, we never talked again for 6 years. And it was just weird for me. Like, it really hurt me for some time. And then, like I do a lot of stuff, or I've done a lot of stuff, I just suppressed it. Like, it is what it is. If she really wanted me in her life, to me, it was just confirmation mm-hmm. that she's just living her life. Yeah. And that's just what it is. So I had to make peace with that. It was never like, I don't miss my friend. Like, we went from talking every single day.
Mm-hmm. Multiple times a day.
Multiple times a day. And it was just weird. Like, how did we get here?
Yeah.
But I felt like I told you before, maybe it was just our season was over. That's how I felt. Not that I never missed you, because that would be false if I say that. But that's just what it was.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. You know what I'm saying? It makes a lot of sense because your perspective, seeing it from your perspective, it makes sense why you would suppress it because of the hurt that you felt from the wedding. And not just from the wedding, the way you were left out of the wedding. And it wasn't any fault. It was totally on me, because if I would have had more to say, then you would have been in the hotel room. That's just something that I'm gonna hold myself accountable to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I will say, at the time, you've always had a lot of friends, a lot of people that came in and out, right? And I've always really just had you. I've had people that I knew, or that I would call my homegirls, or people in high school, but I never really had a lot of friends, because I really didn't get close to people like that. I hated that you would do that. I hated that you would get so close to people and let people in. Like, it blew me, right? And I would mm-hmm. be like, why are you trusting this girl? You don't even know her, right? Because you always was introducing me to somebody new, right? I never really had that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in a season, and I'm meeting people, and I'm like, oh my God, this girl is so fucking dope. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh my God, I'm going to call her my friend. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not my homegirl. This mm-hmm. is my friend now. And so for me, I think I dived so deep into those friendships, mm-hmm. and navigating the friendships was something foreign to me. I didn't understand how to navigate the friendships. So I dived so deep into the friendships, and that became my everyday now. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And Black pointed something out to me too. He said, when you become friends, or when you like something, you dive so deep into that thing, and you kind of, this is the conversation that he had with me back then, you kind of let things fall by the wayside, right? Mm-hmm. And it was never that I felt that you weren't any value, or I devalued you. It was just that I was exploring something new. You know what I'm saying? Exploring new friendships, new people, new things. And now these people are helping me with my business. And you know how I always felt about my businesses. You know, I've always been an entrepreneur. So it just felt like, damn, this is a lot. You know what I'm saying? I really like the way this feels. And I would always talk about it, because we were always around. And so that was definitely on me about the wedding. You know what I'm saying? And it really hurts me. Like, it hurts me even more now to know that you felt like that. You know what I'm saying? I never processed it that way. Never processed it that way. I just knew that you had to be there. The only things that, when Black asked me about the wedding, he said, I need to know, what are the main things, if you were to get married, what are the main things you want? I said, I want Granny to be living. I want my father to walk me down the aisle. And I want the twins to be my maid of honor, and my, the twins. I know I want them in my wedding party. Mm-hmm. That's all I said. You know what I'm saying? Because I couldn't think of anything, because I didn't want a wedding. So all that aside, I apologize for making you feel like that you weren't valued, or that you weren't important in my life, or that I didn't need you. Because I've never felt like that. You know what I'm saying? I've honestly, even during the 6 years, I couldn't suppress our friendship. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could not believe that we weren't talking. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you say the post, like, if I think back, I was hurt that you didn't come to the house. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I expected you to be there. I told Black, I gave him my phone. I said, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm talking about when we had the miscarriage. I don't want to talk to anybody. So people were just calling him, right? But I just knew that you were coming. So from my perspective, I knew that you were going to be there. Because why not? You know, we were so excited about, like you said, about the baby. I knew you were coming. When you didn't show up, I was like, what the fuck? Like, I was so hurt. I was fucked up behind that. But all these other people were coming, and I'm like, I'm thinking about Renata. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, yes, I appreciate it, but I'm thinking about, why is Renata not here? Like, I told her this morning what happened. Why is she not here? So that's from my perspective. That's how I was feeling. You had your perspective, and we never talked about it. Mm-hmm. We never talked about the wedding. We never talked about how you felt about showing up for me, and how I felt that you should have showed up for me. We just literally stopped talking. Mm-hmm. And I would have nightmares almost every single night. Every single night. Black can attest to this. And I would tell him, I'm like, I keep having these nightmares about Renata. But they were like, we would try to start talking about why we weren't talking, and then something wild would happen. You know how dreams get so fucking crazy. Something wild would happen. But that wasn't, it just didn't feel like enough for me to reach out to you. But mm-hmm. I wanted to, but my pride and ego was so big and so mighty and so powerful mm-hmm. that it didn't allow me to express the true emotion behind it, which is I felt abandoned, I felt rejected, and I felt like I wasn't important.
So you felt all the things that you I felt.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we could not find each other.
But for different reasons.
Exactly. We couldn't find each other to have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know that, you know, the saying, this person is here for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. During the time that we weren't talking, I knew that I was going to have to be the one to reach out to you. Because I felt like Renata is done. That's how I felt. I didn't know why, though. I just felt it. And the dreams, because the reason I felt like that was because of the dreams that I kept having. It's like, God is telling me that I need to reach out to Renata. Black came home one day and he's like, I saw Renata at this cookout and I told her to reach out to you. When I tell you I was so fucking mad at him. When I tell you I could have fought him. I said, why would you tell her that? Why would you tell her that? I didn't tell you to go on over there and tell her that. And he's like, baby, you want to talk to Renata. I said, baby, you need to stay out of this. This is not your business. And I was so pissed, Renata, but I was also like, oh, I hope she called me. You know what I'm saying? And you never called. And I'm like, fuck her. Mm-hmm. Like in my head, so I never spoke ill of you to anyone. Right? I always protected you. I kept you protected as if we were still talking. Because I felt like Renata isn't a seasonal friend. She's not just, you know, somebody who comes into my life and leaves. Renata is my person, regardless of what's going on right now, and I have to make this right. I'm just not ready to do that. I don't even know how to do that. I don't know if she's going to reject me. But I know if I see her, I'm all over. I'm a jump on her. I'm a hugger. I'm a kisser. And then we're going to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I just couldn't bring myself to suppress it.
I knew you were going to be mad at Black.
Renata, I was so mad at him. I said, you always in somebody's shit.
That's his job.
I know. Because he knew. Black knew how I felt. And so he was like, he felt like he was going to be the one to fix it.
Yeah, I told him. Like, I know you had this conversation with your wife. She has not called me. So, like, Black, what do you want me to do?
I'm not calling her.
I'm just not going to do it. And I told Megan, I said, she's going to be so pissed that Black said that to me. If he goes home and tell her that he told me to call her or I should reach out because he said, I mean, because like you, she doesn't really know what happened. So he did have this conversation.
He did not have that conversation with me, bitch. He did not.
He said, she doesn't know what's like why y'all aren't speaking. And I'm like, I don't either. But
not happening.
Black, I'm just
Black, I can't do this.
Get just somebody else. Eat a hot dog get somebody else to do it. I can't.
When he came home and told me that, oh my God. I said, do you want to stay in this relationship? What the hell? Why would you go tell her that? I was so mad. But it was only my pride and ego mm-hmm. talking because I really was like, oh my God. Because remember, I don't know how long after the miscarriage this was, but I did text you.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the Spice Suite and my friend Angel at the time, we were talking. We used to meet up and have lunch. And this was one of the days we met up and had lunch. And she was like, what is wrong with you? And I was just like, I'm in a mood. I feel wild. You know what I'm saying? And I said, I want to talk to my best friend, but we haven't talked. It was probably like a year or two. I don't know. I said, but we haven't talked, and I don't know what happened. You know, the last time we talked was when I had a miscarriage, and then we haven't talked after that. She said, just text her. Just text her that you miss her. And I'm like, and then what? She was like, and see what she say. And I text you. I said, I miss you. And you said, likewise. Or something. What did you say? You said, I miss you too.
I said, the feeling is mutual.
The feeling is mutual. I said, fuck her. I was so irritated with that text message that you sent me. I said, this bitch is making it hard. This bitch is making it hard. One of the things that I kept in my mind, though, is women will forgive a nigga for cheating, for having a baby on them, for even abusing them. They will go back to him countless times. But when it comes to your friendship with another woman, it is so easy to throw that away.
That is so true.
And that is so fucked up.
It is. It is.
Because we need each other.
We do.
We really, really do. There is a part of me that desires and craves community and connection, right? And with women. And when you weren't a part of that, I was completely devastated. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are things that we talk about, like little jokes that we have that we've had for years that timeless. They will never not be funny. You know what I'm saying? And things that we like, even things that I wanted to share, like funny shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, even when I found out that my ex got married, and my ex and your ex were like close, when I found out that he got married, I wanted to call you and tell you so bad, because I thought it was the funniest shit I had ever heard in my life. I thought it was hilarious. The way it happened, what he had, all of that, I thought it was so funny. And I knew that you would love it. You would have ate it up. You would thought it. The first thing you would say, oh my God. And I can see the conversation. And when I couldn't call you, I'm telling you, that thing hurt me. I was crushed. Like, oh my God, the only person that I could share this with outside of my mother and my sisters, and we would all feel the same way, it's Renata, and I'm not talking to her. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it was just hard. I was like, how do I break loose from my pride and my ego? How do I break loose from not wanting to mend my friendship with Renata, but I've stayed in fucked up relationships with niggas that was terrible for me, and I've stayed in those relationships, and I've even continued to let them enter my body. You know what I'm saying? Like, my sacred body, I've allowed them to do that, but I can't make a phone call to Renata. And that was devastating.
It's so weird, because it's like in friendships, you hold your friends. It's almost like with men, you expect them to fuck up.
Yeah.
But when it comes to friendships, you hold your friendships at such a standard.
Yes.
And you just feel like if your friend violates you, like, that's just the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
If your friend violates your friendship, that's just fucked up. Men, you just expect them to just fuck up, and it's just like, that's the norm.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to a sacred friendship, and it, like you said, it's fucked up to feel like that.
It is. It is. But what I've realized is that we are human and we make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
We make mistakes. But the biggest part about that is being able to communicate how you made me feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was fucked up. We can have a conversation about how I made you feel, how you made me feel, and move past it.
Mm-hmm.
I vow to try and never hurt you again, because I don't know if I'll disappoint you, because that's just a part of life. I may disappoint you, but I'm not intentionally trying to disappoint you. I need you to know that I'm human. I may can't show up for you sometimes because I got shit over here, especially now that we have our mothers, we have children, our work, just stuff. We are not the free going young girls that we used to be. We have whole lives, right? And so certain times we won't be able to be there, but we can do things to still be there, even if we can't be there physically. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I called you or I text you, I think, the other day, and I was like, this is gonna sound wild as shit, but I don't know what to call you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, because we went right into best friendship. That is every time I think about it. Seriously. Renata, what, like, we never were just friends, homegirls, or nothing.
No, because you called me your best friend and I went along with you. That's just what it was after that. Like,
I'm gonna throw these damn
cards. You said I was your best friend.
Renata, seriously, is that how it went?
That's exactly how it went. That I remember.
I don't remember that.
You introduced me to somebody who was like my best friend. I'm like, oh, okay, well, we're best friends. That's just,
oh, she's gonna be my best friend. She's,
that's just
up.
What it is.
We're, I don't remember that. Okay, now. Well, so yeah, so I say I don't know how to, you know, I don't know, because normally I'll say, oh, this is my homegirl, or mm-hmm. you know, this is my friend, or you know, something like that. But I've never introduced you as this is my friend, mm-hmm. or, and then homegirl is just, I'm sorry for the people that I call. Oh, no, I'm sorry, but. The people that I call homegirls, they not really like a friend.
They should understand that.
They are like somebody I kick it with. You know, we kiki a little bit, but I would not share my deepest, darkest secrets. Correct. I just, it's just, that's just where it is. And it's okay to be in buckets, you know, because I'm probably somebody's homegirl. That's cool. I ain't tripping. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I know what it is. We understand the boundaries. We understand the hierarchy of the friendship. That's cool. And so when I said that to you, what did you say?
What did I say?
When I was like, I don't know what to call you.
Yeah, I said, it is kind of weird. Like, where do we go?
No, you was like, I was like, I'm going to call you homegirl. You was like,
yeah, don't call me that. I absolutely said that. That's so weird. For you to refer to me as your homegirl is just very cringy.
You look like Renaya right now.
Please. I mean, certain things you just can't change, yeah. and that's your feelings that you have for somebody and the relationship that's a real one. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we're best friends.
Yeah, I think
we took a break.
Yeah, a long break,
a very long break.
Would you agree? Because this is how I feel. So you tell me how you feel. I feel like that in order for us to get clarity, in order for us to show up authentically in this friendship. And at this time in our lives, we needed that break. Do you feel like that?
Absolutely. Because I feel like you needed your space to grow and get clarity. And so did I.
Yeah.
And I'm really, 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 I thank God. And I'm so happy that you sent that text at 5 a.m. Why were you awake?
I couldn't.
I honestly, I was awake too. I was awake with that damn dog. I was awake. And the text, Mad Max. But I was awake and I was like, it just threw me by surprise, but I'm so glad that you sent that text.
So let's talk about the text. So I decided earlier this year to fast, take a social media fast. I mm-hmm. decided to get clean, get sober from alcohol, mm-hmm. and to really live in my wholeness and to really figure out who I am and what I contribute to the world and all this other stuff. And this fast was extremely intentional and very spiritual, right? I needed to hear from God. I needed to know what God needed me to do next mm-hmm. because I felt like I was spiraling out of control and I didn't want to be here anymore, right? Mm. And so literally did not want to be here and was ready to call it quits. And so I think it was January. I think I was probably only 7 days into the fast, maybe. I don't know the exact date that I text you, but it was probably very early in the fast in January. And I woke up like, like that, like out of my sleep. And normally when I wake up like that, Black is like, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? But he just woke up and just looked at me. And I woke up and I was just like, excuse me, I was sitting on the side of the bed. And God, I could feel God like physically moving me up out of the bed, but I was holding on to the bed and it was like, grab your phone. And I just didn't want to grab my phone because I just had this wild dream about you, right? And so I grabbed my phone. I never take my phone in the bathroom in the middle of the night. I'll use the flashlight, but I took my phone and I was told to text you. And when I went to look for your number, I looked under Renata and I was like, I've never had her programmed in my phone as Renata. Like, I don't ever remember having you programmed in my phone as Renata. So I'm looking at my phone, I'm like, damn, what is she in my phone as? And so I had just deleted Marco Polo off my phone because Marco Polo was on some wild shit, told me I had to pay $4.99 and all this.
I can't believe you still have Marco Polo.
Don't do this. I am now an iPhone, a baddie.
You are.
I am a baddie now because I have iPhone. Mm-hmm. But I can't believe I have iPhone.
I'm like, so excited.
Seriously, isn't that exciting?
It's very exciting.
You did it. So I'm like, oh my God, so... I put Marco Polo back on my phone and I was like, okay, so I opened Marco Polo up because Marco Polo kept sending me messages like, all your polos are going to be deleted unless you pay. And Marco Polo, y'all kiss my ass. Mm-hmm. And so I looked through the Marco Polo and your Marco Polo, I only had 2 Marco Polos in there. But when I deleted it, I had like 70 Marco Polos in there. I only had 2 in there, yours and Tinsley, the lady who started my log. Shout out to Tinsley. And I was like, oh shit, this is crazy. Why is this right here? And I hadn't seen your Marco Polos in forever because we hadn't talked. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how the fuck did this get up here? I'm scared in the bathroom. So I'm like, okay, so I go to the Marco Polo. I said, okay, so, oh, she's in my phone as this, right? And I'm like, all right, so I type the number in my phone, the name pops up. So I text you. Before I start text you, I'm praying. I'm like, okay, God, whatever you're going to have this relationship be, I just need some type of clarity on what's going on. I need to stop having these. Renata needs to leave my fucking sleep alone. Like, my sleep, I'm sick of her fucking with my sleep. That's how I felt. Like, I can't even sleep. You know what I'm saying? So I text you, and it was like, I think like 4 or 5 or something like that in the morning. And girl, I was not okay after I texted you. So I left out the bathroom, I went to the living room, and I'm just sitting on the couch crying, losing it. Black comes out the room. He comes in the living room. He's like, he's looking at me. He's used to my fucking dramatic
I'm
shit.
Sure.
So it's no telling what I'm on the couch crying about. You know what I'm saying? No telling. So he come out, he like,
poor Black.
I know that poor man. I love him so much. God,
I love him too, please. Because he has a lot to deal with.
Renata, I'm on the couch losing it, crying in the God. Dark.
It takes
it's
a strong man. Because you are a lot.
It's dramatic. Renata, he came out there. He was like, baby, what's going on? And I said, I text Renata.
Drama. You are drama.
I sat up. I put my shoulders up to the sky. I felt like I felt proud, but I also was fearful. He said, well, did she text you back? I said, no. This is what, well, whatever happens, God tells. So I go into all this. And so I read him the text, and he got emotional. And he was just like, I'm so proud of you for doing that. I'm so proud of you. He was like, I know that was hard. And I was like, I hope she texts me back. I pray that she texts me back, but I don't know if she's going to text me back. And then when you text me back, I was like, she texts me back. So I don't know. Like, now I'm going to have to talk to her. She texts me back. And so we text and text and text. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, you know, I really need to see you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, texting is cool, but I just really need to lay eyes on you. I need to touch you. I need to hug you. Mm-hmm. I need to be in your aura, in your space, because it's been so long. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, so much has happened since all of it. And I think the things that happened during the times that we weren't talking also contributed to us not talking. I remember just when you put up a post about Renaya graduating from preschool, and in it you said everybody that was supposed to be here was here. That thing set me off. I said, this bitch, why would she do that? I was so pissed. I was so, so mad. And I just, I think was, those things fed my pride and my ego.
Yeah.
It fed it. It's like,
I use what word?
Yeah, huh?
What word did I use?
What?
That village word.
The village.
The same word you used.
Yeah, and that shit, I was like, wait a minute. Why don't I know about her graduating from preschool?
I think it was probably like a year in at that point.
Was it?
You know,
I still felt entitled.
Yeah.
I still felt entitled. I still felt like I should have been there. And there were people. What were you about to say? You were about to say something.
I was about to say, or maybe it was about 6 months. I can't remember.
It wasn't a year. It was not a year.
It probably was about 6 months then.
It wasn't a year because it happened in April. And then when did Renaya graduate? Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The timeline doesn't matter. And the timeline is kind of messy. It doesn't matter. But though, I'm just saying how my pride and ego got in the way of me continuing a friendship. But I think, like I said, everything happened so that we could be respectful and hear each other's perspective on why you felt the way you felt, why I felt the way I felt. I don't think that if you would have told me that back then, I would have been as understanding as I am now. Or like, I respect the way, I respect your vulnerability. I respect you being transparent about you not feeling like I felt that you were valued in my life. You know what I'm saying?
And you know what? I think because we've been friends for so long, we almost think that she should know that.
Exactly.
Like, she's been my friend for almost 30 years. Like, she should know that.
Yeah.
She should know I feel like this instead of actually communicating.
Yeah.
It's so crazy because the other day I was talking to George on the phone. And we were just talking and he was like, by the way, he really thinks that he should be your co-host, but that's for another time. That's for another
George
conversation.
George will have his goddamn podcast lit up.
Honey, but anyway, he was just like, you and Sherelle being friends again is not weird.
Yeah.
Like, this is normal. Y'all not speaking for 6 years is what was weird.
Yes.
And I was like, you are absolutely right.
Yeah, it's
He's
it's
like,
crazy.
Sherelle is the first friend I've ever known you to have, like... She's the reason I know what sleepovers are. Like,
yeah.
She's always been your friend. Like, y'all not speaking is what was weird.
Yeah.
Not y'all becoming friends again and finding y'all way back to each other. That's not the weird part.
Yeah.
It's like almost like it feels natural.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, some people may have or have had their doubts, but it's just it is what it is.
You know, I feel like I don't really care about that. You know what I'm saying? I don't care how anyone feels about my friendship with you because my friendship with you has nothing to do with anybody else.
Absolutely.
And that's for people in my life and people in your life. And it's no disrespect or no shade, but I'm a grown woman, right? And so are you. And our friendship is our friendship. It doesn't have to involve anything, any other entity or anything else. It is just our friendship. And I think what happened too with our friendship was a lot of people were involved in it too, like all of your friends around it, and it was just a lot of moving pieces involved in it, and it never was really just you and I. And I don't think that's why we really didn't have in-depth conversations and we're able to communicate how we really felt. You know what I'm saying? Because it was never really, we never dealt with confrontation, you and I. We just would not talk and then come back like it was nothing.
Absolutely.
And so this is new for us. You know what I'm saying? And I'm really appreciate that.
Me
you
too.
Know, because that's how I like my relationships. I like to be honest. I like to say how I feel. I like to know how the person is feeling, even if I made them feel uncomfortable, even if they're upset with me. I like to know that so that I can be a better person to them moving forward, you know? And so I appreciate this. It's very refreshing. It feels really good because I was explaining to Black, I was like, you know, Renaud and I never really dealt with confrontation.
Never.
We never, ever had a conversation like, oh, you know, you made me feel like this, or why would you do this? Like, it just will always be, the silence will be louder than anything. And it never solved anything. I honestly just made it kind of bad. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so we missed some really important things. Like, I missed your wedding. That really was really hurtful to me, too. Like,
it was.
To not be there, you know? Keita reached out to me. Tiff reached out to me. They both were like, you need to make this. I'll never forget Keita called me. She's like, I'm calling you because I'm trying to figure out what happened with you and Nana. I said, Keita, this is not the time. You're not the person I need to be talking to about this, Keita. Like, I'm not going to do that. And she's like, well, what happened? Keita, I'm not going to have this conversation with you. And I shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment I got off the phone with her, I was just like fucking in tears. Like, this is annoying. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like,
and she said she can tell by your response that you did not mean that.
Yeah. She
said she just got so worked up.
I did. She Keita, hey, this is not for you. This is not for you, Keita.
You gave her all the energy.
I did. That poor girl. I love you, Keita.
She knows.
What does she need me to do now? How can I make it right, Keita? God, I'm sorry. That shit spilled over. She caught a stray.
She did.
She caught a stray, and I'm so sorry for
it's
that.
It's okay, sister.
I know. You know I ain't mean it. You know I love you, Keita. And so did Tiff. Tiff caught a stray, too. Tiff was doing my hair one day. She was like, she was going to something of yours, and she was like, what happened with you and Renata? I said, hey, Tiff, that's not your business. I turned around. Like, that's not your business. We're not about to have this conversation. And I just turned around. And me and Tiff would normally talk the whole time she'd do my hair. I had nothing else to say. I was done with Tiff after that.
I'm really sorry.
It's her fucking fault that dog caught them strays.
I thought we were just talking about accountability.
Okay. I reverted back a little bit. Thank you for bringing me back in. See, we having a difficult conversation.
Yeah, because don't blame that shit on me. I wasn't even there. The hell? This is crazy.
Stay on my ass.
I was not even there. My girl.
Listen. What? Okay, I haven't done any of these questions. I don't think I've done any of these questions. I don't feel like... Okay,
well, ask one.
Okay, we already did that. See, we basically answering these. Okay, do we both feel a sense of security and trust?
Yes.
Let me tell you why I asked that before you answer.
Oh, damn.
I'm sorry. I got to say, give you the backstory on why I even put this question.
Okay.
Me and Gabby were riding the other day, and she was like, Mom, you and Renata just became, like, back friends. You trusted enough to have her on the podcast? And I was like, that is good. That is real good. And I told her, okay, so now you go, and then I'll say what I have to say.
Okay. So you have a lot of my deepest secrets in the vault. I've always felt a sense of security with you. Like I said, you're one of the people who know me the best, aside from, you know, Graham and Megan, you know, so I've never felt like I had to hold up a guard with you. So I do feel a sense of security and trust in you. I do.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I talked to Tyveek, and you know Tyveek was so happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know Tyveek was also one of the ones too. Tyveek and both of them, they both reached out to me, and Tyveek said, you know, this is the year of rebuild. And I was like, yeah, I can see rebuilding the friendship, but I don't feel like I have to rebuild, like, trust. It just feels like
authentic,
normal, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It actually, I'm not going to say normal, because I think that we are better in this friendship now than we've ever been in our friendship, because we're able to actually communicate. We're able to actually talk about how we feel and say whatever it is, right? Because remember, I called you one day. It was, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, I called you in tears, praying and crying. I was in the car, and I was like, I'm just calling you because I just really wish. Remember, I called you. I was like, I just really want us to show up in this friendship whole and be able to have an authentic conversation and be able to say however it is we feel, if we feel any type of way, because that's the only way that this is going to work and be long lasting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how I feel. You know what I'm saying? Like, because that's how I am in all of my relationships.
I mean, I just feel like at this big age.
Yeah.
accountability is like the biggest thing right now. Like, you have to be able to say, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry I made you feel like that. Or, my bad. I was having a fucked up day. You ain't deserve that. Yeah. Or, you know, whatever the case is, at this age, you should be able to say that. You should be able to respect people's boundaries, too. You know what I'm saying? So, I feel like we're good on that.
Yeah, I do, too. I do. I feel like we are good on that, too. We already asked that. Okay, we answered that, too. See, we did it. We ain't even need these. We ain't even need them.
So, because we about to get the...
Yeah, we ain't even need them. Yeah. I see him. Look at y'all. Don't know if y'all don't know. This is. I'm breaking fourth wall, but Black is behind, showing us how much time we got because he know that I'll sit here and continue to talk for hours. So he's. I'm breaking fourth wall. Y'all know what fourth wall is, but he's letting me know that my time is almost up. Is there anything that you wanted to add to before we wrap up?
Let me think. Not necessarily. I'm just glad, like you said, I'm glad that we're here. And I'm glad that we're in this space that we're in.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we vowed to communicate more and respect each other's feelings.
Yeah.
I just love you.
I love you, too. You know, one of the biggest things, one of the smallest things that I missed, it was a lot of things, but one of the smallest things but was so major, and I didn't realize the impact that it had on my life, was... on your birthday, because your birthday is always before my birthday. We're the same age, but your birthday is before mine. And I miss calling you and saying, like, I call you right at 12 or whatever and say, how does it feel being this certain age? And you would always say,
it's so hard.
I really, really miss hearing that. Miss hearing that, because it happened. That's been the first thing. I won't even say happy birthday. I would say, oh my God. How does it feel to be 16? Or how does it feel to be 21? Or how does it feel to be 30? You know, I would ask that question. You'd be like, oh my God, it's so hard. And I miss that so much. I was like, nobody is going to fucking tell me how hard it is to be this goddamn age. Who's going to tell me this? Yeah. And that shit was fucked up because nobody prepped me to be any of those ages, and now I gotta figure this shit out on November the 4th, how hard it is being this age. I'm like, damn, Renata not even here to tell me how hard it is. And so I really miss that. I love you so much. Listen, thank y'all so much for tuning in to I Don't Know Who This Is For podcast. I pray that this has helped someone to make a call to sever a relationship, because all relationships are not meant to be it, right? Some relationships deserve to be severed. So I hope that this helps someone. I pray that this helps someone. And I pray that you allow your pride and ego to die, and you allow your feelings to actually make a call, to send a text, to send a DM or whatever. You can mend a relationship, because you don't know what you're missing out on when you have friendships. And also, I just wanted to say, the same way you've forgiven a man, you can forgive that girlfriend of yours if it's really meant to happen. If it's really meant to happen, because some of them are not meant to be. So thank y'all so much. Please make sure you like, subscribe, comment, share, and review the podcast, because we are authentically growing this community, and I want your community to be a part of mine and mine to be a part of yours. I love y'all so much. Mwah. That mirror, sometimes you feel like you could do without. It's so necessary, though. I don't know if I would change anything that I've been through. I would probably put better people around me to help me to get through it. Listen, honestly, I'm just speaking in general. I don't know who this is for. Period.
Is it for you or for us?
That's good. I love that.